how much has road design and road environment contributed to the reduction in the fatality rate? Ray Taylor.
On an individual site basis, quite a lot. We know from black spot analysis, we know from road safety audit analysis that if you make an improvement at a particular site and you then monitor crashes and injury rates, you can get substantial reductions, 70% on some sites, depending upon the treatment. So good road engineering is very effective on a site-by-site basis. The problem is that you need to treat a lot of sites to have an impact on the whole. And when you start to treat a lot of sites, you start to spend a lot of money. And so road engineering is very effective, but the scale that you need to have an effect on the whole of the road toll is large enough to make governments gulp.
The road environment has a big effect on safety. And so when you do have superb roads, like some roads in Australia and some in Europe, that are divided roads with limited access, no intersections, big, wide, clear zones on the sides, the rate of fatalities on those sorts of roads is extraordinarily low. But you can't have every road being like that. People actually have to go somewhere off that road, and so they have to go elsewhere. But lots of ways you can improve the road, and it does seem to have a big effect. Probably had a stronger effect than I would have expected. I'd suggest that it would compete with a lot of the behavioural programs. Road improvements cost a lot. It can cost a lot to have a minor improvement done, whereas an education campaign or whatever can cost relatively little compared with those sorts of things. But the improvements on the road will last for a long time. So need to do the benefit-cost analysis on those things over the life of the effect.
Steve Levitt looks back to the 1950s and 60s at the roads that were then considered safe.
Well, we went out there and designed roads that now we're worried are basically unsafe. I mean, the old roads had no shoulders. The trees were right along the edge of the roads. There were no thought put into saying, well, if the person runs off the road, they'll get killed. It was always blame the person. We should design roads that give the people the best chance of surviving the crash. Most of the designs in the old days were done on parallel lines. Everything was parallel. So what we were saying was, well, the roads really need to be asymmetrical. They'd be much safer if they were designed asymmetrically. They don't look good on a plan, but they actually work when you drive them. And it's much safer and it's actually cheaper to build. You don't build big wide shoulders on your straights. You may build a metre and a half shoulder. That's quite adequate. But when you get to the back of a curve, you bulge out so that the whole road looks a bit funny when it goes around a curve. It starts to bulge out. And that's why it's asymmetrical. I came up with the name because that's what it looked like. And it works. And that's a cheap way of fixing up the roads.
Now, what are clear zones and what's their purpose?
We have clear zone to try and give a runoff area for a vehicle that leaves the road so that he doesn't hit an object that's going to cause him a lot of grief, and usually trees in rural areas. In urban areas, utility poles, big problem in urban areas. We've had a hazardous pole relocation program for years, but it was always a bit piecemeal, and it was very hard to get the utility authorities interested in the fact that they had a problem out there and it was their problem. But we have got them interested now, and we're working with them now to develop a sort of a memorandum of understanding that they have a requirement under duty of care not to make the road more dangerous than what it already is.
More on this subject continues on CD number 3.